It's nothing like that. But mm-hmm. for me, if I can do something artistically, visually, mm-hmm. it like opens up another doorway to do something mm-hmm. musically.
Welcome back to another episode of Successfully Unsigned. Today we have a special guest, Justin Eberhardt. He's both a music producer and artist and spends a good time today talking about the balance between doing his own artistry and producing for other artists, including what it's like having his own dedicated studio space inside of Dark Horse Studios. Most recently, however, he talks about his new album that he just dropped recently called Tidal Wave. You can find it on all streaming platforms by Justin Eberhardt. We hope you enjoyed this episode, but before you finish it, please make sure that you rate us on your favorite streaming platform, along with hitting that subscribe, that follow, that like, and let us know in the comments what you think and what you would like to hear next on Successfully Unsigned.
Can you hear the music? No.
Oh, a little bit. This music. A little bit.
Wait, am I doing the intro or
go
you?
Go for it. Go
okay.
For it.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned.
What's up? What's
up? Another what's up? Interview.
We've got some really, really bad news, guys. We had a talk with Dale, and we decided that it was time to kick him off the show.
Especially because of the way he dresses.
Yeah. He just he had this thing he would do where he would just like hit his belly all the time, and it got to the
point.
I have
videos to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sample it.
You got it. No, got Dale's still with us. And now we have J.E. with us. You might remember him from the Holden episode.
Mm-hmm. This is our little part two, but focus on him.
Focus on him. Yeah, Holden was getting too much clout. We needed
to
spread the love a little bit.
Yeah,
no, we love Holden, man. We got to promote Holden harder. Holden needs more attention.
Dude,
go stream Holden now.
I gotta say real quick, at my show, y'all are hyping me up like crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how a show's supposed to be. I mean, I don't like it when I go to shows and people are at the back. It's just not supposed to be that. Yeah. Every show you see, you want people up at the front and it looks crowded.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have 40 people or 50, 60 people, but if they're on the back, it looks empty.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Come to the front.
I just want to let you know, like, you guys were killing it.
No, we already have our first clip. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it was good.
Because it's so true.
Yeah.
I like that venue because it was like, you could kind of really pack it. And then it really is like, oh, like, man, you basically sold out a show. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you could make it about the music there, where some venues like that are set up more to be. We just playing in the background while you drink and food. No. That one you could make it like, we took it over and made it a venue for a little bit. It was awesome. That was a really great night. Like, really, it was, you guys really stole the whole vibe and
you guys took
over everything that night. It was great.
Appreciate it.
It was fantastic.
It felt fun. Well, man, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks for making the trip. I guess to get us started, just tell the peeps a little bit about yourself and
so tell them your full name.
Tell them your government name, your account number, all the information.
Well, my name is Justin Eberhardt. I'm also J.E. as a hip hop producer. I also go by the name Mindwalk, which is another project. And my artwork goes under the name Carrie Asher.
So, I saw you're a painter.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
It was
fun. It's been fun to do. This is the first time I've ever displayed artwork at the listening party that I did for Tidal Wave.
Oh, sweet.
My girlfriend is a painter.
Okay.
And so we spent a lot of time together, and I went through a period where I couldn't write any music, and she was telling me to paint and just paint with her, and I did.
Wow.
And I got oil paint, which is not easy to use.
Yeah, if, no.
You know, and so I'm really just going through it, trying to learn how to paint, and I'm up to the point where I can draw trees, which is pretty cool.
Okay,
you know, which is all I need to do.
It's relaxing.
Like it really is.
I've been
cool
to that Painting with a Twist a couple of times, and like obviously everyone painting the same thing, and it's kind of rough, but it's like, as I'm doing it, I'm like, why do I feel like less anxiety right now? Just like,
no,
like drawing this hill or something.
To me, there's a complete direct correlation between the visual art and the music. I'm not like what's that thing when you hear colors and stuff?
Oh my gosh.
Synesthesia.
Yeah.
Holden has that for real.
Really?
Yeah. He's really cool.
I didn't know
he tells
that
me all the time. He's like, oh, this sounds purple. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's nothing like that. But mm-hmm. for me, if I can do something artistically, visually, mm-hmm. it like opens up another doorway to do something mm-hmm. musically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's why I end up painting and stuff.
Okay.
Nice.
It's really cool.
It's fun.
And that's a really cool relationship dynamic too. Like your girlfriend's a painter.
Yeah.
And you're like kind of, you know, a producer. I bet that's like so, that's just so easy and that clicks.
Yeah. She works, she has a day job and stuff that doesn't allow her to paint as much as she like to. And, right. and she works with children who have special needs and stuff, like at mm-hmm. a daycare program.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the real work and, you know, right. high stress. And you're totally right. And she comes home like dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. She's like, what'd you do today? I'm like, I made a song sound slightly better today than it did yesterday. And so, you know, she does a lot of that real work. But the poster, the Tidal Wave Out Now poster,
yeah,
she took my artwork and cut it up and made a collage out of it. Oh,
that's cool.
So that's her.
That's cool.
So, yeah, she's involved in all the stuff that I do. And she inspires me. It sounds corny, so, but she always gives me little ideas and gets my brain moving on music.
We should have had you do like a little Bob Ross section. Do a little painting tutorial for
That's our next segment. Our next segment is he's drawing this lamp behind him.
Yeah.
I wanted to find a way to debut Tidal Wave.
Yes.
And one of the ideas was, you know, before we landed on the listening party, I was talking with Tonka, and he and I were thinking of a live stream before the mm-hmm. day came out. And the only good idea we could think of was to put up visually, because I'm not Taylor Swift or Kanye West or something like that, where I could just put a black screen and people listen for 40 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. You have to have something visually cool.
Right.
We settled on like, oh, you could just paint for 40 minutes and whatever you do becomes the album artwork. Mm. And then I was like, yeah, but then I'd have to like paint and do something good
right.
and be doing that. So, yeah. At some point, I'll give you all a painting for the studio or something Ooh, like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've always like admired, like one thing I've admired about you is you have this very like insightful nature to you. Like I know during that interview with Holden, like you have a very good way of communicating like thoughts and emotions pretty well. And so just talk about real quick. I know we're kind of jumping around here, but like just talk about where that comes from and like how you got started with the producing and like.
Oh, with
your origins a little bit
with producing, like I've always, even when making my own music as a kid and stuff, like I was the only one doing it, so you're everybody and you're producing it before you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always just described myself as like a sounds guy. Mm-hmm. I can do a lot of different things musically and I can do things with my voice, but I'm not really a guitarist or any one mm-hmm. of these other things,
right?
But I started making beats, which really opened the door for producing other musicians and stuff other than the bands that I was in, like Bad Idea and Fun Monkey, which became Isn't It Strange. I produced on those records and stuff, but I was in the band mm-hmm. and it was more right. of helping them record and all that stuff. But since I've been making beats for about 2 years, that's opened the door for me to produce with guys like Tonka and Holden and Israel and Kelly Two-Face and some really cool people.
Right.
And so my approach is basically I like to look at an artist catalog and see if there's something that I can add to it.
Really?
I don't really try to I like to work with people that I think are really good
mm-hmm.
and people that I admire and people who are better than me because mm-hmm. that's like the only way I get better.
You grow, yeah.
Yeah, I really just try to work with a whole bunch of different people because I'm really influenced by a lot of different music. And I try to, like I said, add to their catalog a new right. flavor that I think would sound good.
Right.
Is anyone in your family kind of musical or anything like that?
Everyone in my family is pretty much musical in some capacity. Okay. Like they really really care about music or like my dad played guitar in punk bands when he was my age.
That's sweet.
And younger.
Yeah. Wow.
So like my amp that we'll use in the live video later, that's his. And
cool.
A guitar that I use when I record in Chicago, that's his.
Guitar is sexy, bro.
And so like, and my grandpa also, he's produced some folk music records and stuff. And like, he would take me to shows and stuff and whatnot when I was a little kid. So
that's really cool.
I've been around music and yeah, my grandpa produced my first song. He like, wow, I don't,
that's so special.
I really don't know how old I was, but
yeah,
on Audacity.
Okay.
Yeah. The computer plugin. Yeah. Figured it out and engineered me recording some piano thing.
Huh. It's called Goo Goo Gaga.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember how old I was, but I was pretty young. Cool. So
that's really special.
My family's always been super supportive and influential to me and passionately supporting me through my musical endeavors.
Yeah. That's one trend that we've seen from most of our artists. It's just really, really cool.
Supportive folks.
For the most part, not all, but for the most part.
I'm very lucky because it's not like that for everybody. No.
Yeah.
And so I feel like with that opportunity and stuff, like I got to take every opportunity I have to put my music in front of people and, you know, it's really cool. I'm very lucky.
So you just dropped your debut album, Tidal Wave.
That's right.
And so your Spotify bio says, "Let the music speak for itself." Which is kind of leads us like kind of what we're here today for the album. And this is just kind of a phrase that you reiterated in your song, A Few Thoughts. So what are your few thoughts on that phrase specifically?
On that phrase specifically, I think too many people like to talk about their music.
Yes.
Well, not even, I won't even say that, just me. The song is basically a trick, and I'll break it down for you if you'd like.
Of course it is. This is what I love.
We're like, let the music speak for itself, but we're going to ask you to speak for yourself.
The music is mute.
Yeah. If I really wanted to let the music speak to myself, we would sit in silence here for 45 minutes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anyway, the song, A Few Thoughts. If you take the first letter of every word in the first verse and put it and arrange it in a row, it spells out all my homies' names. So really the words that are said aren't the message. It's really, I'm just shouting out my friends and all that stuff. Oh my goodness.
That's a really cool.
So then you get the phrase, you're not talking about anything. Just let the music speak for itself. Because basically I needed a vocal line because the instrumental wouldn't work by itself.
Yeah.
That's what I came up with. And it essentially means nothing if you take the lyrics literally. I mean, they kind of give a plot and whatnot,
right?
But that's all subconscious because I just took words that started with the same letter.
Yeah.
And then the second verse is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. It's the alphabet. Animosity breeds creation. Demons exercise fear.
Wow.
It's a...
See what I mean?
Just the alphabet and stuff.
Bars. So, just absolute bars. Every other word is
basically
a bar.
Telling myself to shut up. And that's I'm like, dude, just stop rambling.
Yeah.
Just, come on.
Sometimes that's a really cool like way of doing it where you're like, actually, it's not as deep as you think, but also it is. Yeah. And just kind of this, you have this like mystery about you.
That's what
in
I mean.
A way. You have very much this mystery about you, but you're also like not afraid to talk to people.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pinpoint, but like it's in like, a good way.
He's the guy that painters paint, like in their painting. He's
I can see that.
Your girlfriend just like, that's how you met her. You like saw a painting. She's like, that's you in the painting. Like,
I just like to make people think. I don't like surface level stuff.
Right? Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And so I like music that is challenging and art that is challenging.
Right. Yes.
And I want mine to be somewhat the same way unless we're doing it to not be that way, which we do on Holden's records and other records.
Yeah.
But,
but even so, then I appreciate that because like one thing that I've really been thinking about a lot lately is just some artists who do just kind of talk too much. And I'm like, can you just shut up and play your music? Which is like one thing for like your show that I really appreciated or like I really appreciate about Hexproof. Like they're going to do their set and they're going to get it done. And they're not going to be like, all right, y'all, this next song is this, and I wrote this because back when I was 14, this happened, and 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 just going on. And there's a time and place to discuss those things, like a setting here.
Disclose that.
But other times, it's like, we're here for the music.
Right.
And I think that, once again, like, there's a time and place. maybe at a more acoustic show, you see that a little more often. But that's kind of why I like the more, you know, upbeat pop or punk or pop punk shows, because they're like, hey, we got a 30-minute set and we're going to get done 25. So I like that. And I like that you're like, it's not that deep. But also, it is.
Yeah, crowd participation and stuff like your show, you guys done it fine, but we've all seen that thing. I was literally talking to my roommate and my girlfriend last night. Like, my pet peeve and my least favorite thing is when someone starts to explain the song with the first couple chords of the song, just droning on and on. And then it just so happens to be a slow song and the chords don't change at all. So you listen to the same thing for like 7.5 minutes. And then there's a guitar solo at the end and they just go up and down the scale.
It
drives me insane. But I understand that that brings a lot of people joy. I'm not out here, obviously, not telling people that that's wrong or that's right, whatever.
It's a personal thing.
It's totally a personal thing. That just doesn't, I'm that's not me and that's not what I'm going to do. When I do crowd participation and have played shows, like, the only really time I acknowledge the crowd is if I really, really mess up, and I'll smile and look at them like, oh, you heard that. You for sure did. Or briefly at the end or something, or if it just feels really natural, but I don't introduce songs or even band members in bands we've been in. It's like, you can find the Instagram, like, or even people who are like, go find my stuff on Spotify and stuff, like, you should probably, if you're playing this venue, you probably should have something out already. You know, how did you get booked here if we can't listen to your music? So,
yeah, that's a good point.
A lot of that stuff can feel forced to me and unnecessary. So,
yeah,
that's all. That's my
speaking of crowd participation. This is such a detour and a rant. I'm sorry, but can we stop doing like, all right, everyone, I need you to help me sing this one. All right, go. I don't want to sing when I'm going to a show.
You can do it all with your eyes, I feel like, and with your body.
You know what? I'm going to bring it back to Hexproof. They did a recent crowd participation, but it actually worked. They have a song called Drive.
Yeah.
And there's a part where she goes, go, go, go. And she's like, that's all I need you to do. It's easy. You don't have to sing. Cause that's the thing. Like, people don't want to sing, but yelling is different. People will yell, especially at a punk show.
Yell, yeah.
And so,
so true.
That's just a disclaimer, but that's my personal beef. Anyway,
people like to yell catchy stuff.
Yes. And
so, I love the word go. I mean, the word go for me on the Tidal Wave record was, I kept yelling it into vocal effects for different songs and stuff. Like, the song Chicago literally came because I was just yelling go into the vocal effect, and I needed a word that wasn't go because I already used it like 3 or 4 times. Chicago. The same thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So one of my favorite songs off the album, which we just featured, Justin, in our New Music Tuesday feature. Go check out our Instagram and Spotify for that.
Thank you,
Spotify playlist. Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
One of my favorite songs off the album is We All Need Love. And now that you've kind of explained one interpretation of a song, I could be completely misinterpreting it, but it kind of brings up politics. Do you think the music industry has become too political?
I don't know. That's part of the thing is like, we're, you know, with all respect, none of us are really in the music industry quite deeply enough to know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not trying to get controversial, but some of the things that I see, it looks like people do pull some strings. There's just certain artists and certain songs that seem to catch on that I'm like, I mean, I feel like you can tell when someone's baiting the algorithm and trying to get something to work.
Yeah.
And whether you want to call that political and whatnot, that's cool and stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's people who don't want other people in the industry. That happens with restaurants and everywhere.
Yeah.
So probably, but like, I'm not saying it is because I don't know. I don't have a deal. I'm not really in the industry. I just work on music and go to a really nice studio and talk to some people who are in the industry when I work at the studio.
Right. Man, you could be a politician, it's though. Cool. That's a very like good neutral answer, even just for the last few too.
I really love politics.
Yeah. It's oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I really could watch things like C-SPAN and and stuff for hours and love it. I watch stuff from all across the board. I don't have no political affiliation. So I just, but I care about it because it's like, it does impact us and it's some stuff that's going on. And, basically that song was, I think punk rock has for me been somewhat political and a little bit of fighting against the powers that be or whatever you want to say. And so, tried to be as direct as I possibly could in a lot of different ways on this record. And so that's where those lyrics that I'm, you know, which ones I'm referring to came from and stuff. So
I think that's why it was my favorite song, partially just because of the lyrics, but also just the sound of it is kind of catered to more of my music tastes. But yeah, it was one that I was like, oh, it's very, very interesting.
No, I'm glad. It's all weird because like I made the record in a week and a day on an iPad.
Yeah.
And so like I did it really fast. And so all the songs mean something to me and then they don't really quickly. And now getting that feedback back from everybody else is like, oh no, I'm gonna go listen to it in the car on the way home and feel differently about it than I did earlier. And it's just so great to be able to share music with people.
Yeah.
It's the whole point.
See, that's what's cool about music is like, I've talked about it on the show before. You're just capturing a moment in time of what you're thinking and feeling.
Yep.
And the difference is with like records that have, you know, long production times is you're just kind of polishing that one moment, but it's still that one snapshot of what you were thinking and what you were writing.
Absolutely.
And so
records, for me always do that. And I can always remember exactly where I was when I heard something or maybe when I was working on something. And, it was just cool. For Tidal Wave specifically, I came up with the name Tidal Wave weeks before I started even thinking about it. I was just like, oh, cool, T-I-T-L-E-W-A-V. That's cute. And it'll be a nice project name for something eventually. Anybody who I work with, maybe. And then I wrote the first song, which was All I Need Is Love, was the first song I wrote for the project. And I didn't know it was for the project. I was like, okay, random punk rock song that just happened. Cool. And then I wrote Go the next day. And then the day after that, I wrote three songs in a row. And I can't remember exactly which ones they were, but I know Count to 1, 2, 3 or Look for 1, 2, 3 was one of them. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm making a record now. And Tidal Wave just seemed to be fitting because it's tidal wave of energy I felt to do a record in a week and do all the press and stuff to get it out.
That's like, so crazy.
I released it 2 days to the month after I started it.
Wow.
Like it didn't exist.
Wow. That's crazy.
2 months ago. So I'm happy with it. But yeah, it's cool.
So can you actually talk a little bit more about Looking for 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. Anything in specific? I mean, it's in 7/8. It's a little weird and stuff. It's got some math behind it.
Yeah. I'm trying to fully remember it, but isn't it kind of like once in like it doesn't mean anything? Like, is it the idea of like angel numbers? Is it that idea, or did I completely misinterpret that?
I don't know. For me,
he's like, yeah, you did.
No, it means whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
For everyone, which is the point of my lyrics. To not get too specific and make it like, if I wanted to, I write pop music. I don't. I want to make weird stuff. but to me, Look for 1, 2, 3, that I just freestyled over the top trying to get some sort of cadence and stuff. So I really didn't mean anything because I didn't even think that I was going to say it before I did.
Right.
And then I came up with the it doesn't mean anything. You do not mean anything. I do not mean anything. We are all nothing.
Okay.
And so it's just like, that's basically what it is. It's just cryptic words and stuff. And they truly don't mean too much. And then I say that it doesn't mean too much.
Yeah.
But it could mean a lot.
Yeah.
Because I am saying something that I believe, which is like, our existence is very small. Mm-hmm. And we should lean into that because then your ego gets destroyed very quickly, which I think in the music industry, especially when working with people, is very important to not have ego and to not not let your ego get in the way. I actually want to rephrase that. It's good to have ego, and I have ego, but knowing when to deploy it as a weapon.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
Because your ego can be like your most deadly weapon.
Yeah.
And you don't want to pull that one every time.
Yeah.
And so it's a fine line and a balance. But yeah, Look for 1-2-3 is one of the grooviest songs. And also the guitar part, the one with the delay pedal, the rhythm of that is pi. So you count 3-1-4 1-5 3-1-4-1-5 And then it repeats and stuff. So I've got different polyrhythms and stuff. And I'm a big science nerd and I'm trying to become a math nerd and stuff. And
your brain is so interesting. Like genuinely it is.
It's like house. Yeah.
I get influenced equally by science and all this other stuff as I do by other people's music.
Really cool. And I feel like not something you don't see with a lot of artists.
He just pays attention to details.
Yeah.
Like that's the vibe I get from you. Is you just pay attention to details.
Yeah.
More than a lot of artists do, which I appreciate.
Yeah, which is sometimes bad because then you're way too zoomed in.
Yeah. Yep. Get lost.
Yep. Which is why you want to show it to other people and stuff and get people's opinion, like Mello.
Right.
You know, who's just fantastic.
Yeah, he'll tell you. He'll bring you back to reality real quick. Sure.
Yeah, he'll zoom you out very quickly in the best way.
Yes. We love Mello. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're talking about Justin's I almost said Tidal Wave. Talking about his debut album, Tidal Wave. So with this being your debut album, at least from what I could tell from Spotify, it's your first project for at least your solo career since 2017. So can I ask like why it took so long between then and now?
First of all, for some reason, it just says 2017. That record came out in 2020.
Oh, okay.
It just was like composed, and so it put that number up. I'll go change that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that was 2020 when that came out. But I've been in bands, and I've been doing other stuff.
I didn't realize.
So yeah, I've had. I was in a band called Fun Monkey for a really long time. And after I left the band, they've rebranded as Isn't It Strange. And they put out the record that I wrote with them in the band and whatnot.
Okay.
And so that record took a lot of time and a lot of hard work. It's a psychedelic rock record, and it's great. Go stream it now. It's really, really good. Really proud of that one. And then working with Holden and working with Tonka has given me a lot of albums that some of which I can talk about and some of which I don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then working with Mello also, you know, takes some time and stuff. So I'm working on a lot of different projects, and I did spend some time not doing anything musically where after I did the Paracousia EP, I had moved to Nashville and tried to do more music kind of like this that I wanted to be like this, but didn't know that it would sound like this.
Right.
And I couldn't do it. And that's when I ended up painting for like three, four months. And then I sampled the record for fun. And that became beat making and stuff for me. So all my beats are from Soul Sample Records and stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay. I knew you did a lot of sampling, like us talking about that in the last interview, but I didn't realize that was in this album as well.
No, not in this Tidal Wave album.
Gotcha.
I just mean, these are just some other projects I've been doing. Gotcha. And then me and Holden and Tonka have a record called Cheers that I talked a little bit about on the last podcast and stuff. That's we kind of hit a roadblock. It's really like a movie in the way we're writing it.
Yeah.
And basically producer J.E. came in with an idea that was really good, but really, really hard to execute in terms of the plot. And now we're like trying to figure it out. Yeah. So that's where we're at on that one. And then, anyway.
When did you move to Nashville again?
I moved to Nashville. I don't remember. I think at the end of 2020.
Okay.
Or at the beginning, I want to say the beginning of 2021. I've been down here for about 3 years.
Wow.
So or 4 years, 3 or 4 years or something. So not terribly long. But I lived here for 5 months in 2019 when I did the Dark Horse audio engineering program, which got me in at Dark Horse, which has been a great proving ground for me as an audio engineer and to meet a lot of other people and just work on that sessions whole, quickly. So
that vibe down there, it's becoming just like a great place for creativity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been, but
I can't say enough good things about Dark Horse. It's really given me a platform to work on music every day. And for a while, I had my own studio there. I had my own room. And it was just, I mean, come on. I had my own room at Dark Horse.
That's pretty cool.
I didn't even need to say anything else. It was great.
That's when I went down there to like look for the pedals and stuff. I was like, man, it's living large. You got the,
Yeah, that was the room downstairs. Ooh. I miss it. But yeah, that was so cool. Had the access to the gear locker and or the mic locker and stuff upstairs mixed with all my gear. So it really was nice to have, to be able to promote that as a producer and be like, yo, come work with me down here and stuff. But we're at the apartment now, which is still dope, but different.
Different.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. How many projects are you typically working on all at once, would you say?
One at a time. I do not like to have to go one day. That's smart. Yeah. I've tried to do that and it feels like you're in America and then spend 2 days a week in Japan or something. It's like culture shock and you got to deal with that.
Especially if it's different styles. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. And so I like to focus on one thing at a time, move on to the next thing or go through periods where it's like, we're not going to finish. We know we're not going to finish, but we're going to put some work in for the next couple months or whatever.
Let me ask you real quick. Just kind of on that subject of you had mentioned you'd kind of hit a roadblock with Cheers. How do you usually navigate those moments? Because I know I've gotten there with either artists that are working with me or producers that I'm working with, and it's so difficult to like overcome that. Are you advocate of like stepping away for a while and then coming back? Or is it more like, let's just push through and capture what we've done tonight?
I think if anybody in the room feel, especially, so like Cheers, we're making it with multiple people. Right. So it's different if you're doing stuff solo.
Right.
But for Cheers, I'll just speak on, if someone's got an idea they really are fond of, we track it because we respect everyone's idea. And nothing's a bad idea until it's actually proven to be a terrible idea. So you track it or you get a voice memo of it at the very least. But then, after a good amount of hammering the nail, I feel like, you have to take some time back. And then it just ends up speaking to me when I play the music again. It's just like, I'll either be humming something along the lines of a new thing or an idea. And it's like, oh, this is what I should suggest to them. And I think time really does help. It can also be the enemy though. Like people in myself too, I'm always included when I say people, tend to overcook things and let things marinate for too long and stuff, and that's just not good.
Well, it's like I feel like there's two kind of camps. The first camp is like people that are like, I'm gonna take some time, you know, period of creative rest. And then there's, I feel like I write better after a period of time has passed, but it's not like I want to take that time. It's always like I'm moving or something's going on and I can't get my hands on a guitar. And then when I finally am able to, like 2 months later, it's like an explosion of creativity. But I think if you're working on something, like you said, with multiple people, it can be a little bit more difficult to kind of nail down what it is that you're trying to put out there.
Yeah, especially when, I don't even have anything to add to that. You're totally right. It's totally that. It's more difficult. I think it's easier to make music with your just by yourself, because you can just let it be whatever you want, but you have to have that confidence in yourself mm-hmm. that it can be whatever you want mm-hmm. and it's fine. And music is, it should be whatever you want it to be. Right. And there's so many great records I love that have never won Grammys, or people who have never done any interviews and mm-hmm. stuff, and bands who have done 2 records and broke up or whatever in the 90s that I just love their records and stuff. Mm-hmm. And no one knows about them. And that stuff is equally as good as anything that's charting or doing anything right. else. And yeah. it all just, if you like it, someone else is going to like it.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it and you're hesitant about it, someone is going to notice. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that.
That's a good point.
You always, I feel like people think like, or artists, they tend to think that they want to sound like a certain thing or whatever. Because it's, well, it's hip and stuff, but what people just want is for you to be genuine.
Yes.
They always gravitate yes. to you yes. being genuine more than 100%. What they yeah. think they want, which yeah. is what the labels try yeah. to
like do. Like I said, people can always tell if you're genuine or not.
Yeah.
So with so many, like, working on so many different projects, like okay, so this record's kind of the, like, more experimental, psychedelic sound, but you recently worked on an album called A New Home by Hannah Jane, which I would say is, you know, kind of a different genre. Mm. Is there like certain genres that you prefer to work in, or like, do you always prefer kind of more experimental thing, or does it just depend?
I definitely want to work on all sorts of music mm-hmm. and I collect records and vinyl. And so okay. that's been my whole, that's the thing I own the most of is records. Mm-hmm. I love them. And I've got all sorts of people of all sorts of genres and stuff in there. And, I just love all sorts of things. And so for me, it doesn't matter if it's hip hop or if it's R&B or rock and roll or classical music or mm-hmm. jazz or anything really in between, EDM, electronic stuff. Like, I dig it all. Mm-hmm. And if it really speaks to me, I want to work on it in mm-hmm. some sort of way. And I can mm-hmm. lend some of my help to getting a vision across
right.
in a number of different ways, even if it's just not being hands-on on mm-hmm. the gear and just giving advice and stuff. Yeah. I'm more yeah. than happy to do that. But the approach is always the same. Like, it's just, I'm making music, and it's actually more fun that I do get to bounce around because then I don't get bored.
Yeah.
And it's always when, like, this record came out because I've been making so many beats, and I'm just, like, kind of yeah. got to a point where, like, I made as many projects as I can possibly think of making with this MPC thing. Right. Yeah. I got to move on and do something else. So this stuff came out.
Keep challenging yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But I do want to say on the Hannah Jane project, mm-hmm. I just I helped with engineering during their initial recording days.
Okay.
So I did the engineering while they were recording, but all the credit needs to go to Hannah and to Massimo for mm-hmm. that record because they spent the time and actually mixed that. Oh, and okay. also Brendan Atten need all the credit on that one. So I did just really help him record in the studio in Dark Horse right. gotcha. And dialed in some outboard gear sounds and stuff. But
okay.
Yeah, they were nice enough to give me some credit yeah. On that. But yeah. they did that all that work. That's right. All them. So
yeah, speaking of art, I love that album art.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I phoned mine in.
I did want to ask you about the album cover. Like, what was the choice behind doing, like, kind of the screen grab versus, like, what you were using to promote with the poster and or a painting or something like that?
So when we have vinyl, which should be coming soon, hopefully Ooh, at some point.
That's pretty cool.
The idea will be is that it looks very boring on the cover, gotcha. On the outside, and then the back credits are done in a similar style.
Okay.
You open it up, and there's booklets with all the artwork. So it pops open and there's color.
That's really
rather
cool.
than it just being out there on the yeah, front. Right. Plus also, and you have to buy the thing to see the art.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. A little bit of that yeah. as well. But yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's just
I like that idea.
A little thing. It's also partially because I didn't have good photographs of the art yet. And
gotcha.
It just okay. looked good. I thought next to the Paracousia record.
Right.
As my discography as a mm-hmm. whole as an artist, it looked correct.
Yeah.
You know, kind
which
of
is also right. important so, yeah. to have that kind of
I care about that just a wee bit.
Aesthetic.
So,
yeah.
So how have you grown like as a solo artist since that first record?
Since the Paracousia one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got over doing electronic music, basically. I got tired of sitting and programming things and trying to get machines to sync up and just lost the joy that kind of came out of that kind of stuff. When I was in Fun Monkey, my job was more the psychedelic elements of the band. So I had a big spaceship pedal board. I had two of them and two synthesizers and another piano and a radio that I would send sounds through the pedal board in. And so I was experimenting a lot with just weird noise and not soundscape. So much musical elements and stuff and soundscape. Mm-hmm. So that's where Paracousia came from, because it was, you know, there's not many vocals on there, and the vocals that are on there are more background and used as an instrument.
Right.
So, I got over doing electronic music, but, I will say, like, the rock music, that's the stuff that my dad grew me up on. And, that's the stuff I love and love to listen to. And the stuff that makes me really happy is bands like Radiohead and bands like Black Midi and, King Crimson and, Yes. And, Black Country, New Road and Squid and so many others and stuff. But Soul Coughing is a huge influence of mine, and U2 and the Rolling Stones and so much more. But that's my home is the rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And I discovered hip hop kind of was one of the first genres like you discover that your parents didn't show you.
Right.
So I've always loved that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's always like I'm a guitar player and a rock boy at heart.
Right.
And I do love that stuff. So
yeah.
Most people are like, whoa, this is a new sound for you and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is just, that's actually me.
Yeah.
The hip hop stuff is more me
that's cool.
doing something else.
Okay. So,
you know, but it is all me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I put all my energy into it regardless. Yeah. And it's cool to make such different kinds of music and one day be this guy and one day be this guy. And it's fun.
You have to venture out, you know?
Yeah. I get bored.
Yeah. It gets boring. I mean, I used to program my drums and like sitting there clicking the MIDI notes. It just, when you said it takes the joy out of it, it's just so true. It's just like,
it's fun for a while. And then you realize like, this is just, this patch cable is just sending electricity to that point.
Right.
And this is barely musical. Yeah. This is driving me
circuit.
Nuts.
Yeah.
But it is like I use a modular synth a lot to process my vocals on this Tidal Wave record and the drums. So it's all dope. It's all really cool. But I just get bored really easy. And that's what it is at the end of the day, and why I like to work on pop records and rap records and rock records. And I've done film scores that you can find in the link in my bio. Yeah. And I want to do more film scores because if I could do... I think if I could do one thing for the rest of my life, it would be write for string instruments and stuff. It's my favorite.
That's one thing about you, dude, that is so cool. Like, even when I was working on some of my tunes at Dark Horse, like, you were like, this pedal would sound cool. This pedal would sound cool. And so I brought a couple of them up and we started messing with them. I sat on that floor for like a good 25, 30 minutes just messing around with this stuff. And I'm like, this added so much. And I think the bridge between like soundscape and emotion is like so clear. Like that translates, I feel like, to a lot of different genres of music. Like having that soundscape element to it adds a certain feeling and emotion. And you're very good at discovering what that could be and like adding it on. And I just really appreciate that. I think a lot of artists appreciate it too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. For me personally, like obviously I know kind of what I'm trying to get across when I'm doing my music, but for other people, when I'm producing, I'm always asking those questions like, where are we at in the story? Or is there a story? What's the point of this song? Do I want the listener to feel
right
at the end of this? And okay, so you're talking about like feeling constricted and tight. So why do you have this big old reverb on your vocal that makes you feel free?
Right.
Like it just makes, you know, these little subconscious things and stuff that you can put the listener in a space and make them feel the same thing. To be able to get the listener to feel the same thing that you feel is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really hard. And I try to make it easier for other people to do it.
Yeah. And that's a true thing, like, of our producer, like, just giving the artist the keys, you know, and saying, hey, like, this key unlocks this door, and allowing them to be successful by basically saying there's the door, like there's, you know, this path I think would be cool for you to at least try or like entertain. And some artists don't really accept that well, and then there are others that really want that and starve for that.
Yeah, it's all personal, and like I said a little earlier, it's like the ego thing. If people, I don't know, being a producer is weird because you do have to make sure that your artist is content and that they believe in the direction. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, like if you hire me to be a producer for your record and you don't do things my way, what's the point? Right. Like, you know, and if you're just going to fight me the entire time, like, why am I here? Like,
yeah.
For your own sake, don't yeah. spend money on me to be here right. or, you know, have your mental energy fighting with me while you're trying to work on your record.
Right.
Just make it what you want it. But it all comes down to ego and people who are just willing to be like, okay, we're making this thing together and we're doing this mm-hmm. thing together. And it might have your name on it. Might have your name on it. Might have my name on it. It doesn't matter. We're putting the same amount of work and the same amount of energy into it. And yeah, that's what I'm about. It's good collaborative effort
yes.
from everybody around.
Yes.
Everyone yes. pulls yes. their weight.
Please.
No one's shy about yeah. sharing ideas and stuff. Yeah. And in my sessions, I like to try to create a really healthy, safe space where
yeah,
everyone can just say whatever they want.
Right.
Like I said, nothing's a bad idea until we prove that it actually is a terrible that's, idea. Yeah.
That's really good advice.
So
yeah. How do you, and Dale, you might have some insight on this. I know you're not on the episode right now, but just as someone who's like this producer, audio engineer, whatever, how do you kind of find the balance between working on other people's music versus working on your own music?
Well, for me, a lot of the time it is my beats, so mm-hmm. it is my music.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. But Holden's is a hybrid, for an example. Like, he really has most of the song done when he comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing synth sounds, adding stuff that complements what he's done. But he writes like most of his stuff right. and does a lot of that. I don't know. It's I can't actually remember your question.
No, just like find the balance between like, okay, I want to work more on my solo projects versus, well, I am going to work on these other people's projects. So that kind of balance.
I don't want to work on any more solo projects. This wasn't supposed to happen.
I
told Tonka that, like, I might make a solo album. And then 3 days later, I was like, I'm not making a solo album. And then 3 days after that, I was like, yeah, I'm making a solo album. I told myself after Paracousia, or even before then, because I had started producing other people's stuff, and especially when I started doing the hip-hop stuff,
yeah,
that, like, I'm just done. I don't have much else to say.
Yeah.
Verbally.
Yeah.
And so I don't...
So your passion is the producing?
Yeah, is the producing and stuff.
Side.
Yeah, this record just happened, and I know myself, and I know I'll probably do more, and I'm very happy to... I'd like to play this live a bunch of times yeah. and to do some stuff to promote it. And I enjoy it. But at the end of the day, like I like being a producer and I like working with other people, and I especially like making hip hop records. They're really fun.
Yeah.
And they're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to refer to, I mean, obviously we know Tonka, but refer to, like, I feel like hip hop is kind of one scene that I haven't ventured out as much into.
There's some really cool stuff happening.
I know, like, one other person.
I want to put on Israel Nayor. He's a fantastic artist. He's from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
He and I have some music together, but he's off working on some other stuff with other producers mm-hmm. right now. He's fantastic. He's the homie. Kelly Two-Face is a guy from, oh, man, I don't want to be wrong, but I think he's from South Carolina. He's from one of the Carolinas,
okay.
I believe. He's going to be mad at me. I'm sorry, Kelly. But he's just fantastic. He and I have some music together. But once again, like, he produces another rapper named Sid,
okay.
Who's from Southside Chicago. And so they're working together right now on their thing. And I'm busy working with Tonka on something right now. And who else do I want to put on? Jordan XX is fantastic. He's one of my favorites. He blends the line between hip hop, R&B, and neo, like, psychedelia. Mm-hmm. Like, he really just, he's got his own stuff. His EP Land of the Free is as close to a 10 out of 10 as you could get. Much love to those guys, a lot. And Blackheart Sage, of course, who's he's one half of Samo Sage, who's in, that's Tonka's duo.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, Sage's okay. Family. So
okay. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear what Tonka's cooking up, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tonka's got some stuff, and you guys need to have him on. I don't want to he's got some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Good little tease there.
Okay, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back for a game. Our very first game. Okay, we'll come back with it. I'll introduce it in the next segment.
Thank you for watching this clip of Successfully Unsigned. If you want to see more content like this in the future, please hit that like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to find us on social media platforms at successfully_unsigned or on our website at su-podcast.com.
Welcome back.
Hello.
All right. So like we talked about on our last episode, where we did a little game with Dale and David, we're going to start doing a game with our artists so that you guys don't feel so bogged down. Just kidding. But just to kind of like keep some lightness toward it. And I saw this on another podcast. Shout out to Bottoms Up with Finita.
Stole it. Yeah.
And decided that this would be a fun one. So basically, Justin, all the game is I'm going to name an artist. It'll be one that you know and everyone knows. And let's pretend that you are like the artists that you work with are all on like relatively the same level. So these are all going to be big artists. Like you've worked with these with big artists before. Would you collaborate with them? And you can answer both for as a solo artist and as like a producer. Okay. And you don't have to say it. You don't have to say why if you don't want to say why.
But, I like it. Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
First artist. Oh, okay. SZA.
I haven't heard enough of her music. I don't know.
Oh, this one might actually... your answer might get you canceled. Why I should edit this down? This is me being messy. Chris Brown. Okay. Good answer. Good answer. Adele.
Yeah. I'd work with Adele. She'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Beyonce. She seems nice.
She seems so sweet. Beyonce.
Beyonce, I don't think so because I like some of Kanye's production and she's already got that. And so I don't feel like we could add much.
That's such a like humble answer. Well, like, she's got it covered.
Well, she did. And James Blake, who's a huge influence of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, she's fine. She don't need nothing.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah. No question.
Of course, yeah.
I just realized that I put this person and they are no longer alive, but let's pretend they are. David Bowie.
Sure. Yeah, he seems fun. There's never been really a time where I got super into David Bowie's music. I've heard all of it. And so I feel like, maybe working with him would be cool. He said Death Grips, who I love, was going to be the future of music. So if you say that, I could get in the same room with you. And so,
that's cool. Post Malone.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that you were into punk. I had short time to other punk artists. I'm trying to think. Now every punk band has just lost my mind.
You can think of any punk band.
I lost my mind.
Okay, and then the final one, which will be asked for every artist, Taylor Swift.
Sure. Come back to Dark Horse.
Oh,
come back to Dark Horse.
Okay.
Taylor. We want to see you again.
Yes.
Come do your new record here. Bring Travis, bring everybody. It'll be great.
Right.
Big party.
Just for the crowd.
Yes. Back to your roots, Taylor. Well, you know what? Yeah. The only two re-recordings that she has left to do are Reputation in her debut album, which was recorded at Dark Horse.
There you go.
So that's an opportunity, Taylor. I know you listen to this podcast.
J.E. Engineering. I'm ready.
Do it.
I'll clear my schedule.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move into our show and yell. So if you remember, you don't have to like scream at the top of your lungs. You can just be like, notebook. And tell us what your item is. We can kind of see it.
This is my Aunt Nancy's guitar. Guitar.
There we go.
I would like to see his voice get over a certain
guitar. Sorry.
You're good.
This is my Aunt Nancy's guitar. It was a gift on a wedding anniversary. I don't know which one, from her husband, Chuck. And she gave it to me when I was young to play, and I never gave it back. And she never played it in much either, but she wanted to, and always told me that it was cool that I was playing it, and she thought it was dope. And I think about a year ago, she was hit by a car, and we lost her, and that sucks. But now her guitar gets to be down here with me, and on a whole bunch of records and stuff. So yeah. It's super dope to have her with me all the time.
That's always special. It's
fantastic. So.
Part of your music.
Yes, I'm not playing it in the live performance tonight because I don't have a pickup. But yes, this is my Aunt Nancy's guitar. It is my favorite guitar. Yes.
How old is it?
I don't know. Okay. It is a Lotus, which they're really good, actually.
Yeah, and they're not bad.
I didn't know, especially when you tune it down to like a drop.
Oh yeah,
tuning, like I've got it down maybe 2 or 3 full steps right now, Grunge, across the board, and it just sounds a little more full body and stuff like that, and I really like it. I've used it. My new thing is the acoustic guitar through a massive pedal board, so it sounds really cool through there. It sounds really distorted and nasty, so nice. It sounds great. I love this guitar. I've played it on basically every record that has acoustic guitar that you can find with me producing or it on. It's probably that one.
So. Have you always played left?
Yeah. My dad was lefty, so he's got a Fender Stratocaster at home from the 70s. That's the guitar that I learned to play on and stuff. It had one string on it when I pulled it out in the basement and
one
stuff.
One string, just hanging on.
I taught myself the E. The low E. Nice. So I taught myself the Star Spangled Banner on the low E.
There you go.
And I was home free.
And then Smoke on the Water was
right next. Right next. And Iron Man and all that stuff was pretty immediate right after that. Yeah. Then when I got a pack of strings, it was over.
It was right. All she wrote.
Yeah.
Did you teach yourself? I'm assuming. Well, yeah. I know you know how to play more than just guitar. Did you teach yourself how to play on these instruments?
Most of them. I've had piano lessons when I was a toddler and stuff, and they taught me the basic shapes and stuff. But I've always had an ear for music, and the piano teacher used to tell my mom, like, don't play it for him, because if you play it for him, he'll remember what it sounds like and just be able to do it off of that.
Right. Huh.
And that's what ended up happening. And so I play everything by ear. I learned drums by ear and just kind of dissecting it. I took some drum lessons and stuff to get pointers, but it's always basically been that. Guitar is the instrument that was fully self-taught, that I haven't taken no lessons or anything from that.
Wow.
I deeply regret it because I don't hold the pick correctly. And my hand gets covered in blisters and bloody when I smash my guitar because I just don't know how to hold it correctly. So,
yeah.
Take lessons, kids.
I was shocked when I first started, I guess I say taking lessons, but I went to NSA. So it was literally like day one of guitar class. They're like, everyone's holding it on their right knee. Like, don't do that. You have to hold it on your left leg. And then you have to, if you have a stool, put your, or foot on the stool and like lift up your leg. Honestly, I hated doing it, but it helped my posture so much. And now if I'm like in a certain position sitting in a chair, it's like I have to have it over here instead of over here.
Yeah, it's just, it's physics. One of the things I like to say about making records is you have to get the physics out of the way so you can just do it. Yep. I'm struggling and I don't know how to play the guitar. Certainly never going to be able to write no guitar solo.
Right.
So you have to get the physics out of the way to do it, which is the same sort of
that's my really good idea. You have a lot of good advice. You have a lot of good advice.
I try. I've been given a lot of really good advice from a lot of really cool people and a lot of really good people. And I'm lucky to be surrounded by a lot of great musicians and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hope to make more records with good people soon.
Yeah, for sure. Taylor Swift next.
Taylor Swift, Adele, keep coming, man. I'm ready.
Your new name.
Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, Rick Ross.
So good.
Rick Ross would be dope.
Yeah. I just think we would make cool music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a really cool
tape. Definitely see it with Lil Wayne.
Yeah. It would be fun.
Are there any other specific tracks that you want to discuss or talk about?
I don't know. Tidal Wave is a goofy song. It makes me smile every time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say there's a lot of little things throughout this record that if you listen to it 2 or 3 times, you'll start to hear things that you didn't hear the first time. And especially if you read the lyrics, there's not just the song, a few thoughts. There's so many hidden messages and stuff through there in the way the words are like oriented and stuff. It's deep in that. The last song, for example, is in F sharp, which is the resonant key of Earth. So, it's a nice, good drone that just shakes and really vibrates any building you're in. The whole floor is really moving. When we play it live, the goal will be to just drone F sharp at the end of every set and see if we can't get a glass to fall off a table or something fun.
I'm sure you could.
Just do something cool and different. So, yeah, it's a record I really feel I needed to make at this time.
Yeah.
I wanted to make it as fast as possible. And yeah, in a week on an iPad. I'm proud of that.
Killed it.
It's cool. I make a lot of records with Pro Tools and a lot of different tape machines and cool outboard gear, but the iPad is a powerful device.
Godsend, bro.
Sponsor him, Apple.
Please sponsor me, Apple. I'm ready.
Well, congratulations, Justin. It's a great record and excited for more music that you work on. Is there anything else that you kind of want to bring up or anything?
Plug it all, man.
I just want to shout out Tonka because we live together and he gave me the space for to do the record, because I did it at the home studio. And so for a week and some change, he dealt with me sending loud sounds in the living room and stuff, being able to do that. And my girlfriend as well for putting up with me and her family for letting me come and paint. I want to thank Dark Horse Studios for having me do the listening party, and everyone who came to the listening party was a really awesome.
Yeah, I'm sorry we couldn't make it, man.
No, it's no big deal at all. Y'all got things. It's no problem. But that was a fantastic night. There's so many people I want to thank. Definitely my family. And that's it. Yeah, please go stream the record. The new
Tidal
record,
Wave.
Tidal Wave.
WAV, period. Justin Eberhardt?
Eberhardt, yeah.
Okay, I was saying
you said it wrong last time.
I was saying Eberhardt this whole time, so I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But go follow us, or go follow him first, Justin_Eberhardt, EBERHARDT, correct?
That's right.
And then go follow us, successfully_unsigned. Go to our website, su-podcast.com, and our TikTok is Unsigned Podcast. And I think that's all. Thank you, guys.
Thank
we'll
you,
see you next time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.